Chapter 28, Black and White, Part 2. Words. Anywhere. Calm down. Calmly. Chose. Conversation. Cut off. Distributed. Drugs. Earlier. Eventually. Favorite. Greedy. Grew, grown, groaned, hired, interrupt, not anywhere, package, participate, problem, railroad, reached, recover, repeat, resisted, safety, special, teenager, tick, unbuttoned, unpleasant, untied. Black and White, Part 2. Then the policeman sat down and lit a cigarette. He was sitting, looking at them, and smoking. Then he smiled an unpleasant smile. He was thinking about something. "Where is the sales clerk?" the policeman inquired after a pause. There was a sound under the counter. The policeman looked under the counter and smiled again. He took the scotch tape off the pharmacy sales clerk's mouth. "Where are the drugs?" he asked the sales clerk. "There are no drugs in this pharmacy," the sales clerk said. "There are drugs only in special pharmacies." "Who shot the sales clerk?" the policeman asked. "No one shot him," Stravinsky said. The policeman took some kind of bag, pressed it to the sales clerk, and shot through it with the gun that Stravinsky took from the policeman in the overturned car. The sales clerk began to groan.
"Box number 10 in the brown closet," the sales clerk groaned. "Don't kill me."
"They were the ones who chose you, not me." The policeman took out his phone. "Kent, I'm at the pharmacy near the parking lot. Come here quickly. I give you 2 minutes. Then he went to the brown closet, found box number 10, and began to take out packages.
"The headache pills are not in this box," said a man in brown shoes who walked up quietly behind him.
"In my gun, there are 7 headache pills. They will help right away." A policeman stopped and turned his head slowly. The man in the brown shoes pointed the gun at him.
"Want to try them?" he offered.
"Assure?" Roast was surprised.
"How did you find us?"
"Your blood is all over the sidewalk from the railroad to the pharmacy. It's strange that the police aren't here yet," Ashur explained.
"What about this policeman?" Vega said.
"This one has his own interests here," Ashur replied.
"Right? You're a bad policeman, aren't you?" Ashur asked the policeman.
"In 5 minutes, the city's entire police force will be here," the policeman said.
"Put the gun down and give it to me," he added and reached out his hand.
"Then you won't have any problems."
"Raise your hands and get down on your knees," Ashur shouted, "or you'll get a couple of pills right now."
"You are very nervous," the policeman said quietly. "You have to calm down. I know you. We have already met, right? Your resistance won't help you. I am the law here. Now I am the power." He looked at each person in the pharmacy, one after another.
"Good or bad, I guarantee safety to all of you. Put down the gun and move 3 steps back. Then you will have only a small problem." The policeman spoke quietly, without stopping, and came closer and closer to Ashur.
"If you don't do that, you will have big problems.
everyone who had resisted me had big problems. "Raise your hands and get down on your knees," Ashur repeated quietly. "Don't resist. Just give me the gun and all will end well for everyone," the policeman kept repeating. Ashur kept moving back until his back came up against the wall. A policeman came closer and closer and spoke calmly and slowly. Ashur slightly lowered the gun. Just then the door of the pharmacy opened and Kent entered the pharmacy. Ashur looked at the teenager. The policeman quickly grabbed his gun with one hand and turned off the lights with the other. The policeman and Ashur started shooting at each other. In the dark, only the din and the flashes of the shots pointed to their location and the direction in which they were fired. After 4 or 5 seconds, everything grew quiet. Vega turned on the light. The policeman and Ashur both lay on the floor and didn't move. There was blood on the floor under each of them. Kent wasn't in the pharmacy. Vega went up to the policeman on the floor and carefully looked at him. Then he untied Rost's and Stravinsky's hands. Rost came up to Ashur and unbuttoned his clothes. A bulletproof vest was under his clothes. Ashur began to recover. His arm was wounded. He rolled to his side and sat up on the floor. Stravinsky put a bandage over his wound. "You know, Paul," Ashur looked at Rost, "my father made me help you. But you are creating more and more problems for yourself and everyone around you. If I had known earlier that you were not in control of the situation, I wouldn't have told you about Pandora," Ashur said and put his gun in his pocket. "I think that we have no more than 5 minutes to get out of here before the police arrive. My car is outside." They lost no time and left quickly. Sitting in the car, John Vega looked at Ashur for a long time. Eventually, he began to speak. "Peter Ashur, can I ask you one small question?" he finally said. "John, do you want to ask me a small question about big money?" Ashur replied with a question. "Exactly. Where are my $4 million that I took from my own bank?" Vega shouted. $4 million? Because of which my hand was nearly cut off in Asia? Because of which I was shot at in the Libya by Pandora's soldiers, whom she hired with my money? The money because of which I was put in jail, and because of which I lost my favorite job, Ashur?" Ashur stopped the car near the Imperial Bank. He gave Vega a long look. "I'm sorry, John, that you lost your job. We have distributed the money among the poor of Libya, to whom we wanted to give freedom," Ashur explained. "You call hired soldiers the poor of Libya?" Vega protested. "But I also wanted to participate in it. I also wanted to give freedom to the poor of Libya. I, a respectable bank manager, agreed to risk everything for the poor of Libya. But you and Pandora cheated me. You wanted to take everything for yourself. You and Pandora are both greedy and disgusting scoundrels, Peter Ashur." "I'm sorry to interrupt your conversation, Mr. Manager," Rost said. "But we are already near your bank. Time to go into the bank." "I'm not going anywhere," Vega shouted. "Ashur should give me back my money." "Listen, Vega," Ashur turned to him again. "I got you out of the pharmacy. That policeman would have killed you all for the drugs. Is your life worth $4 million? He looked at Vega. "I worked off that money, didn't I?" Vega didn't reply. He sat and looked out the car window. "John, the clock is ticking. In half an hour, they will take away most of the money from the bank to the central office," Rost said. But Vega did not reply. New Vocabulary Review. Prime Minister, could you tell me, is it June or July? "Today is already August 1st, Mr. President. We've been in prison for a week already." "Time flies. Soon, summer will be over and fall will start. By the way, could you tell me, what will we have for breakfast today? In prison, they give you breakfast only on Sundays. Have you forgotten? No, I haven't forgotten. What kind of an idiot would come up with such a rule? It's your idea, Mr. President. Why are people so greedy, especially the poor? I don't know, Mr. President. Why do you ask? The poor always demand something. They demand schools, hospitals, a big salary. Yes, the poor are very greedy, Mr. President. I, for example, never demand anything. By the way, Prime Minister, you have been lying on the mattress for half an hour. We have only one mattress in our cell. Let me lie on it too. Excuse me, Mr. President, there is a line here for dinner. You also have to stand in line. Listen, prisoner, this is the Prime Minister. He will stand in line for me. I'll go without waiting in line because today they are giving out my favorite food, fish. I'm not a prisoner. I'm a guard, and I have my rubber baton. It's a special object for calming down prisoners who are too smart. Excuse me, Mr. Guard. I was just joking. Who is the last in line for the fish? What kind of army is more effective? A mandatory or a hired one? Prime Minister, what do you think? If it is fighting against another country, then any kind, Mr. President. And if it is fighting its own people, hired soldiers are much more effective, especially hired soldiers from other countries. Our guard is a very unpleasant person. Don't you think so, Prime Minister? Our guard? Usually he executes prisoners. Why do you ask, Mr. President? He gave me a very strange look today. They say that his father and grandfather also worked in this prison, and they also executed prisoners. Really? To execute prisoners? Was that also my idea? No. Prisoners have always been executed in our country. But he can behead 3 prisoners with 1 stroke. So you should calm down, Mr. President. He's a great professional. But to behead is not modern. That's exactly why you ordered a new electric chair from America half a year ago, Mr. President. Remember? Also, my idea. No, that time it was my idea. You know that I love everything American. Movies, cars, electric chairs. Remember a week ago when we were given our lunch? Of course I remember. Roasted camel legs. By the way, why did they roast a camel? That isn't our national cuisine. He was executed. This camel illegally urinated on your palace grounds, Mr. President. Our guard practiced executing with the electric chair and used the camel for this. I think we should take a risk and run away from this prison as soon as possible.